Alex Bauman in studio with me, and of course, college football tomorrow. And I got to tell you, lots of games, a lot of good games tomorrow, especially in the SEC as we start SEC play for a lot of teams. Auburn and Alabama not in league play yet. They'll get that going next week. Let's talk a little bit about some of these games. We won't touch on all of them, but I mean, there's a lot of good games tomorrow night, tomorrow, during the day, even tomorrow morning. First of all, Alabama and Wisconsin. Talk to me about your Crimson Tide. Do they have any problem with Wisconsin?
I'm a little bit concerned with the run defense. Wisconsin, for years and years and years, has been a really good running team. They don't have the same talent at running back. Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon, Monte Ballard not back there at running back, but they're still going to be a threat in the running game. Alabama, that's been their weakness since Kane Womack took over as defensive coordinator. But Wisconsin did have to play their backup quarterback last week, Danny O'Neill. Don't know what the starter is going to be like this week, if he's going to be able to play. But with down your starting quarterback in a hostile environment in Bryant-Denny Stadium, I just don't see a way Wisconsin's able to beat Alabama in this game.
I don't either. I really don't. But I saw a lot of things in that first ball game against Florida State that I'm like you, I'm a little concerned about. They got pushed around at Florida State. Okay. Are you telling me, I'm not saying are you, but as a public, is the public telling me that Alabama's going to get pushed around when they go on the road? Are they going to be really good at home? Because I hate to tell you, if it's going to be a road and home thing environment, they go to a place in 2 weeks to where pushing around is going to be mild. They're going to get hammered if they don't play well on the road at Georgia. But the Georgia game means absolutely nothing if they don't win this game. Don't you agree?
That's the thing, is they can't get caught looking ahead to the Georgia game. They have to focus on Wisconsin, and they have to execute well, and they cannot have the same effort put out there that they put out there against Florida State. That was the big thing for them in that game, was the effort wasn't there and the energy wasn't there. But you tune into the UL Monroe game, and there was effort and there was energy, but it's UL Monroe.
Yeah.
It's not a Power 5 team. It's not Florida State. I want to see what Alabama looks like this week when they play a Power 5 team. Granted, it's Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's not the best team in the Big Ten or anything like that, but they're going to punch Alabama in the mouth a few times.
Well, you know, when I watched the Auburn Tigers last Saturday night, there was some lackluster parts of our game. I mean, we just looked like we were going through the motions at one time. But I will tell you, after watching Baylor defeat, SMU, it made me feel a little better. Maybe Baylor's not that bad, and we're a little better than what I think. Auburn is actually ranked right behind Alabama this week. I do not like that. I don't like that.
The AP poll is a joke in general.
We don't need to be ranked right now. We need to wait until after the Oklahoma game. Let's see where we are. But speaking of the Auburn Tigers, we'll have to see how Damari Alston is, if he's going to play. I don't think he's going to matter against South Alabama. We're going to probably win this game and look kind of – I'll be honest with you. I think we're going to look very vanilla. Hugh Freeze is not going to show a lot before going to Norman.
No point to. But the thing that's been inspiring to me is he hasn't just forced passing the football. He has leaned on the running game, and Auburn is top three in the SEC in rushing yards per game. And that's been the thing, is Hugh Freeze wasn't known as a – run the football down your throat type of coach. He was more of an RPO, sling the ball around the football field. So it's nice to see him lean into it, the strength of his team, which is the rushing attack.
Yeah, and I don't want to blame our quarterback from last year, but if you turn around and hand the ball off to, you know, to Jarquez Hunter last year, you may have a couple more wins. We turned the ball over way too much. But, hey, it is what it is. I do like the fact that they're playing a little better and they're getting more people involved. I do like the way our defense played last week, but I just don't believe that I really don't believe that Ball State could have scored on Akron last week. I really don't. But all right, so Auburn and Alabama out of the way. Let's go middle of the afternoon tomorrow. How about the Georgia Bulldogs? They coming to Rocky Top. Rocky Top hadn't been tested yet. But you know what, Bauman? Neither is Georgia.
No, Georgia has played very subpar opponents. Marshall and Austin Peay.
Yep.
They looked very vanilla against Austin Peay for obvious reasons. Like talked about, David, they don't want to show a lot of things to Tennessee on film they can go back and look at. But it's worth noting Georgia has won their last four meetings at Neyland Stadium by an average of 30.5 points.
And I get that, but I'm going to play this little tune right here because I'm going to tell you something. Tennessee played Syracuse in the first week, and Syracuse would drum either one of the teams that Georgia has played.
Oh, yeah.
So competition-wise, it's been a little better. Now, I think Georgia's definitely coming in here with a better talent, okay? I just think Tennessee, they're kind of like me with Georgia. They're ready to get over that Bulldog bump. And you know me, I always want to beat Alabama. But right now, I really want to beat Georgia. And I think Tennessee and Josh Heupel, I think they do too. And I don't know. What's your thoughts on the outcome of this game?
Well, the two groups of players are injured for both teams. You have Georgia down some offensive linemen. They're down their right tackle, as well as one of their guards, Juan Gaston, and their right tackle, Ernest Green. Their backup right tackle, Ja Jackson, has also got hurt last week, so there's some injuries on that offensive line. And Tennessee, while they did lose some talent on the defensive line with James Pierce Jr. gone, Amari Thomas gone, they still have a lot of great players on the defensive line being able to brought in through the transfer portal, and also some guys from last year, the biggest one being Joshua Josephs, who's had an outstanding year thus far. And I think he does wreak havoc on that Georgia offensive line and puts pressure on Gunnar Stockton, which is a big thing for Tennessee to be able to do. This is Gunnar Stockton's first true road test of any school. If you're able to put pressure on him and make him win the football game, I think Tennessee will be set up for success. But for Tennessee's defense, you're down your first two cornerbacks. Ricky Gibson Jr. is hurt, and then also Jermon McCoy is hurt. So you're starting a true freshman corner and a sophomore corner.
But on the flip side of that, you're starting those youth guys in the secondary, but so is Georgia on the offensive line.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
To me, with a lot of time to have to throw the football. I'm just telling you, for whatever reason, I'm probably going to be wrong. I'm looking to squeeze that orange Saturday. I just think about this, too. Now, as an Alabama fan, in my opinion, as an Alabama fan, you want Georgia to win this game. The worst thing that could happen for Alabama is to roll in there tomorrow morning and just hammer Wisconsin, and Georgia lose to Tennessee with a week off with Bama coming to town.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
The key for Tennessee is going to be put pressure on Gunnar Stockton and take away his legs. That's also a big thing, because if you put pressure on him, you can't lose contain, because he's going to scramble. He's that type of quarterback. He's not a pocket passer like Carson Beck was when he was at Georgia. But if you put pressure on him, you also take some stuff off the back of your new cornerbacks. Because if you just let him sit back there and take his time reading the defense, the cornerbacks are going to give up something. But I do think Tennessee has the talent to win this football game. I love their quarterback, Joey Aguilar. I think it's pretty clear to Tennessee fans and college football fans as a whole, they won that trade with Nico going to UCLA. And I think Tennessee wins this football game at home.
I'm kind of with you. I kind of like it myself. All right, two more games I want to talk about real quick. First of all, how about the Aggies of Texas A&M going up to take on Notre Dame tomorrow? and Notre Dame, they're not in a conference. So conference games don't mean a lot to them. But look here, they've already got one loss on the season to Miami.
Yeah.
They can ill afford, if they want to stay in playoff picture hunt, they need to win this game.
Yeah. The big thing for Notre Dame is the offensive line has to play better. The reason they lost to Miami was the poor offensive line play. You weren't able to get your running game going. Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love were held in check. CJ Carr had to put a lot of it on his back as a first-time starter for Notre Dame. The right tackle at one point, like I talked about when we mentioned it last week with Notre Dame, is there was a point where he was, on the last possession, he was spun around looking at his quarterback throw the football. That cannot happen against the Texas A&M team, where you have a guy in Cassius Howell who is tied for first in the SEC with 3 sacks. You cannot have your right tackle looking the wrong direction trying to block one of the better sack getters in the SEC. And like you said, it's a must-win game for Notre Dame, because if you drop to 0-2, I know they have some difficult opponents on their schedule, when you lose to two opponents at the end of the year who might be looking at the college football playoff, that's tough for you to motivate somebody to give you a spot.
Well, I'll tell you this. I just don't think Texas A&M has been challenged yet. I mean, UTSA and Utah State, I just think they're going to go up there and get kind of blindsided. And did you know that Texas A&M has one of the highest NIL payrolls in college football?
I don't doubt it. The oil money out there is crazy.
They are going to start yelling NIL and throwing money out the window if they don't win this game. This is a big game, I think, for both of these teams. All right, so let me talk about one more. The real Death Valley. Will you stand up? They won there at start of the season in Death Valley at Clemson. I am not sold on LSU totally to be the third-ranked team in the country. Okay, I'm not. Okay, but I will tell you this. I think they're better than Florida. Florida's got problems.
I mean, LSU has problems too. They have the worst rushing offense in the SEC. That has been back to last year too. And it's not like they don't have talent at running back. Caden Durham and Harlan Berry are two really talented running backs, but they haven't been able to capitalize on that. The offense has not looked great. Even struggled last week when they played a subpar opponent. They are averaging at 37 minutes and 10 seconds time of possession, which is sixth in the nation. So they like to control the football, but Florida has a lot to prove this game. I really do think if Billy Napier is not able to put up a fight against LSU, you might be seeing his name on ESPN headlines that he is gone.
I can tell you this. He may want to be gone. You want me to tell you why?
Why?
Listen to this. They started out with Long Island. I was looking for the T after that island. I was looking for the Long Island T is what I was looking for. They look very lackluster against LIU, even though they won that game handily. But they just puked all over themselves last week with South Florida.
Spit on someone.
Yes, yeah, they did. That was part of a puke. Listen, I'm not downing South Alabama. Great, great comeback.
You mean South Florida?
I mean South Florida. Great comeback. I think they've got a very much underrated football team.
Yeah.
By the way, they cracked the top 25 as well. But here's the thing with me, Florida. I want you to listen to this. They go to LSU tomorrow night. There's nothing where I have been there. There's nothing worse than drunk Cajuns at 8 o'clock in Baton Rouge. Trust me. Then, next week, they go to Miami. Then, hold on. It don't get any better than that. Then they got Texas A&M. Mississippi State, Georgia, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Florida State. Tell me where you're going to find six wins in there to get bowl eligible.
I don't even think Mississippi State's a shoo-in win at this point, the way they played last weekend.
Absolutely.
The only one you might be able to pencil in is Kentucky.
I mean, let's be honest. After watching Florida play last week against South Florida, and those teams that I'm going to reel them off to you one more time. They're 1-1 right now. You've got LSU, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Florida State. Where are the wins going to come from? A much better Florida State team, a much better Kentucky team who played Ole Miss pretty well. Ole Miss in the top 10 now, aren't they?
They're 15. Top 16. They're okay. 16.
Georgia. And as you mentioned, Mississippi State, Texas and Texas A&M along with Miami. Are you kidding me? Where Billy Napier, I'd want to be gone.
You had to win last week. Had to win.
Absolutely, and they didn't.
No. And it's not all on Billy Napier.
No.
Because there were some times where DJ Lagway did not live up to the expectations that he should be.
He just looked rusty.
He looked like he had some Peyton Thorne moments in that game towards the end of it.
Let's don't go there.
Where he checked out of a run play and threw a pass on a down where he should have just ran the football and killed some clock. And I don't know if that was a check from DJ Lagway or Billy Napier called it that way. I would hope that Billy Napier didn't call it that way. That's some bad coaching. But the offensive line for Florida has been pretty bad all year long. That was supposed to be their strength coming into the year, returned four starters. They haven't given DJ Lagway a lot of time. They haven't given their running backs, which is the strength of their weapons, a lot of holes to run through. not a lot of bright spots for Florida.
All right. I have not heard this anywhere. I have no headlines, but I'm going to make a prediction for you. What is Andrew Luck doing right now?
He is the GM of Stanford.
That's about to become much more prevalent at all schools. Mark my word, by the end of the year, the GM at Florida, Tim Tebow.
They need something.
Tim Tebow.
They need something to bring the energy back to that program and bring the fan base back. Because right now,
they
can't stand it.
I would say Steve Spurrier, but he's to the age where I don't think he really wants to get back into it. Who else in any college football program can you think of to lead a program better than Tim Tebow to leave Florida?
That'd be the perfect hire for them. Not as a head coach, a GM is a perfect spot for him.
Perfect fit.
Perfect fit.
And he's done with his professional career. The kind of person he is with his faith. To me, it's a win-win situation. I'm calling out the people in Gainesville right now. No matter what you do with Billy Napier, if Florida goes 10-2 from here on and wins the rest of their games, go get Tim Tebow to be the GM.
And before people start, I mean, they already are chanting fire Billy Napier. Think about who are you going to get to come in to replace Billy Napier? Absolutely. Lane Kiffin's not going to come to Florida, looking at that schedule.
Well, he won't come this year, but I can tell you one thing. He might come next year.
I don't know.
I just don't think he can get it over the top at Ole Miss.
That was their big one. You lost it. You didn't hire Dan Lanning. He's at Oregon. He's not leaving Oregon. He didn't leave Oregon for Alabama.
No.
You're not getting Urban Meyer back. I highly doubt he comes back to Florida with what happened there.
And get Kalen DeBoer. He'll probably be ready by the end of the year. I shouldn't say that. You know what's funny? They interviewed a lady and asked her if she had one of those lottery tickets in the Powerball last week, which actually was won by somebody. $1.68 billion. I said billion with a B. They asked her, what would you do if you won that? She said, well, I'd spend the first $70 million and get rid of Kalen DeBoer, and then I'd spend the rest of $25 million on getting rid of the AD.
Bet your tone changed after last week.
Sure did. She was probably taking pictures with him after the game last week.